Hello, ladies. Welcome back to Everlasting Fruit and to the bonus episode. I will be grazing over or just mentioning a couple of more church issues that were not covered previously. Also, a reminder is that I am now back on Instagram, so please follow me at Everlasting Fruit Podcast. That's one word. I'm excited to look at some other church issues. I won't be going in detail today, as I mentioned. I just wanted to share some other ones that were not covered and are quite interesting. And I'm sure I'm missing a whole lot because there are a lot of things that go on in churches. So without further ado, let's get right into it. So another issue that was not covered is that some churches only focus on women's ministry and do not take men's ministry seriously, although only have a women's ministry department and not have a men's ministry. I've been to a few churches and I find that regardless of how small it was, they managed to make time for the women's ministry. I remember the agenda of women's ministry being pushed. And when I inquired about why the need for men's ministry was not pushed with the same, you know, with the same energy, I was instructed it was not needed at the moment. So women's ministries are needed, and I'm not discounting that. I just think that men's ministries are also needed. Women's ministries tend to quickly become discussions about marriage, children, life, etc., or like, you know, just places where, you know, people just come to complain about their lives or something like that. Like I've been to a couple where the meeting runs for like hours and everybody's so excited, like nobody's leaving because they're talking about, you know, marriage issues, children, and other than the prayer that was had in the beginning to start the meeting, there is nothing else done, nowhere, no searching of scripture, nothing really that gets in depth through scripture. So I think that usually tends to be problematic. These are issues that do concern women, but why can't it be that the sessions are focused on women studying the Bible together, searching the scriptures well and deep to understand the scriptures, rather than claiming the feel-good verses for their marriages, for children and life? Like, let's get to the nitty-gritty of scripture. Let's get to the core of theology, trying to understand our Lord better. Why can't it focus on the woman and her Lord? The woman and knowing more about her creator, the woman and growing in her understanding of the word, the woman and progressing in prayer, the woman and progressing in living out the commands of the Lord, growing in her obedience to God. Because the issues of life, those include marriage, parenting, finances, careers, etc., they will be around for as long as we live on this earth. So we need to focus on the one who matters the most. Besides, in studying scripture, God somehow answers all of these parenting questions, all of these marital questions, all the financial questions and career questions. Like, if we submit ourselves to Jesus, if we submit ourselves to his guidance and to his leading, he will lead us in the right paths in terms of our marriages, in terms of our parenting, in terms of our extracurricular interactions, our jobs, our careers, every aspect of our lives. And on top of it all, with the women's ministry having a shallow focus, there is a lack of men's ministry in the church. And because I've never attended a men's ministry, so I'd like to ask, is it that men don't need to be ministered to outside of regular church service? Ladies, ask the men in your lives, what do they teach them in men's ministry? For those that have it in their churches, what do they discuss? What do they talk about? Is it also heavily focused on, you know, their wives, marriage, parenting, all of those things? Like, what do they discuss? Or do they, you know, mostly focus on theology and, you know, reading the word and getting to know, learning how to interpret scripture and all of those things? I would like to know. I've never attended one, so I can't really go in detail, but I have actually noticed that there is a lack of men's ministry in a lot of churches. And then another point was that the churches do not hold men or husbands accountable. And I believe that I have seen this. There's a lot of blame for women and wives, and I rarely see the same energy for men in the church. And honestly, this is coming from the perspective of attending African-based churches. So that's where this, I guess, discussion is coming from, is that I rarely see men being held accountable, especially when that interaction was between him and a woman. The women are usually often asked to bear the men's mistakes. And, you know, if it's, you know, between a husband and a wife, they will encourage the wife to submit the more, to serve the more. And if it's, you know, someone in the church, they would be like, okay, you know, just, you know, forgive, let's move on. Women are often overlooked or not really taken seriously when grave issues actually arise. And so what ends up happening is that issues are not brought up. Like somebody would just leave with, you know, having not being, you know, counseled, having not been talked to or even supported in the way that they should. I hardly hear in the church for men to love more, to serve more, to lead better, to submit to God more. This can lead to a lot of abuse being ignored, women being abandoned in abusive situations. The answer to a lot of complaints from women is, have you prayed about it? And these are discussions that I have actually been privy to, especially in women's ministries, of course, because, you know, end up talking about marriage and, you know, issues. So it's, you know, like whenever they seek counsel and go to church leaders, it's, have you prayed about it? So she had prayed, and it took a lot for her to come to you, to have to expose such terrible things about a man of God or even her husband, or an issue has been brought up and that issue needs to be dealt with as well. So don't send her back to pray again. Hold the men accountable. And yes, she has forgiven 150 times over, but nothing has been said to the man, to the husband. Some of these church issues need their own episodes. This topic needs a lot of unpacking. My goodness. Like I don't think that it can be covered in a bonus episode. They need a lot of unpacking. But yes, those are some of the issues where churches, they don't hold men accountable, and that needs to change. Another one is that churches are not being real about marriage. The focus is on getting married rather than focusing on the journey of marriage itself. Many couples are left alone once they say, I do. Churches don't cover in depth the issues that are faced in marriages. Sometimes people believe that their marriages are the worst ever because they're just not getting enough support from the church in terms of counseling, in terms of, again, keeping the men accountable. And I get it that sometimes once couples get married, some couples don't want to involve, you know, the church leadership, because sometimes the church leadership does not keep secrets and they end up talking about other people's marriages, which is another issue, actually. That is another issue, you know, not keeping confidentiality. But the thing is, you mostly have access to the ones in the church for if you want like godly or spiritual leaders to be your mentors. But a God-fearing mentor does not equate a great marital mentor. I have seen pastors who are terrible husbands and pastors' wives who are terrible wives. I'm sorry, like if you're a terrible husband, I am not going to be happy you counseling my husband, because what are you going to do? What are you going to teach him? And likewise, for the ones that are terrible wives, I'm not going to come to you to counsel me on how to be a good wife. Anyway, that is a whole nother topic. And this goes hand in hand with the choice of leadership in the church that we discussed in the previous episode, in that the pastor must be a man of one wife. He must be a good husband and a good father. I find that a lot of Christians, at least in the African community, enter marriage and are shocked because no one told them about what happens in marriage, or no one took the time to really mentor the men and the women before entering marriage. Ladies, let's be real with our single sisters looking to marry soon or those that are looking to get married in the future or someday. Another aspect is spiritual abuse. Just to define what spiritual abuse is, according to Christianity.com, it is when church leaders use spiritual beliefs or texts to hurt, to manipulate, to scare or control the congregation or an individual's behavior in a religious context. For now, I'm just going to say, know your spiritual rights. Read your Bible, learn the word, seek God for yourselves. Your pastor should not be the only source you have for biblical truth. When you rely solely on your pastor and he has no accountability on the word that he teaches, there is room for spiritual abuse. Ask questions, go home and study more. Don't leave it at church. Just to lighten it up a little bit, this one literally, it irks me. It's when the congregation calls their pastors and the pastor's wives mommy and daddy. Oh my goodness, just stop it. Even the disciples called Jesus rabbi, and you're out here just trying to outdo yourselves. Please just stop it. But there are many church issues, to be honest. I'm sure I didn't even scratch the surface. I can think of churches who refuse to bless a child that was born out of wedlock. You know, when, you know, people bring their children to be dedicated to the Lord in church. And I get the need to not encourage sex outside of marriage, but the child is innocent. Another is not being transparent about how the tithes and offerings are used, or the pastor having sole access to the funds and nobody else. They're just so much. But for now, here's what to do when you find yourselves in these churches. If you find yourself in these kind of churches and you have taken the necessary steps of reflecting on your spiritual growth, you have spoken to the elders and have brought up suggestions and have been ignored, it's simple. Leave. Ask the Lord to guide your search for a biblically based church, a church that takes discipleship seriously, a church that encourages and teaches its congregants to read, study, and meditate on the Word of God, and not just stop there, but to live according to the teachings of the Word of God. Many a time, churches will say, read, study, meditate, but what exactly does that look like? I like to say, read for the full picture, study for understanding and for knowledge, meditate to digest on the bits of scripture for it to sink in and for the word to penetrate your soul. Don't idolize your pastor. When your pastor, rather than pointing you to Christ, he points you to himself, that is problematic. You need to leave because you're most likely going to remain a fanatic of his than become a follower of Jesus. This is not to say that the Lord cannot transform you no matter where you are. It's just that without faith, you cannot please God. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. But if the word you are hearing is the word of your pastor, the life of your pastor, the gospel of your pastor, then it is no wonder that instead of believing in Jesus, you end up believing in your pastor. You end up just filling seats in a church that seeks to lead you farther away from Christ. People equate their close relationship with their pastor to them being close to God. And that's not it. You need your own relationship with God, my friend. You can also bring it up to leadership, actually. But chances are, if that church has been operating a particular way for a long time, it will be you that will be booted out of the church rather than those that are comfortable with the status quo. So endeavor to take your relationship with God seriously. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13, the Lord stated, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." When you seek the Lord with all your heart, you will not be waiting for prompts from your pastor to pray or to study the word of God. You will hunger for him. You will hunger for his word because his word will be life. You will feel emptiness when you're not in his word, because your goal would be to find him. So you will search the scriptures to find him. You will pray to communicate with him. You rely on him, because there'll be nothing that is as sustaining and fulfilling as being connected to the springs that never run dry. You will obey his word and live by his instructions. Further, pray. Pray that the Lord will lead you to a church where you will grow. Pray for a great church family. I used to be part of an amazing church family that till today, 8 years later, I miss that church. I disliked living in that city, but I cherished the care, the love, and commitment to the members and their growth that the church demonstrated. When you find this new church, serve. Don't just spectate. Don't just fill seats. Don't just sit in the pews. When you leave a church, make sure it's not out of spite. Make sure you have prayed and consulted leadership. Leave the church in a peaceful way. Don't leave by taking congregants with you unless it's your family. Don't leave by, you know, having argued or, you know, cuss people out. If it depends on you, live peaceably with all people. So take that to heart. I want to point you to a good resource for churches, and that is a book called 9 Marks of a Healthy Church by Mark Dever. I was literally thinking that all churches come with their own issues, but there are some churches that put systems in place to combat or deal with those issues when they arise. But I was thinking like, wow, we need to pray for our brothers and sisters who are locked up in a church that literally has all these church issues and then some. We also need to pray for our pastors and church leaders. We need to pray for the church, period. Let's not be selfish and only think of our families, friends, and loved ones. We are the body of Christ. We need to pray for one another. Remember your pastors. They go through so much and they need prayer too. 1 Timothy 2 verses 1 to 3 states that, first of all, then, I urge the supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. So pray for their wisdom. Pray that they may be men who are truly submitted to Christ. When church leaders are submitted to Christ, they love and do what pleases God rather than all the shenanigans they tend to do for their own benefit. So please intercede for your leaders. And don't just stop there. Intercede for the leaders of the nations as well. Anyway, ladies, thank you all for tuning in for these past few weeks as we looked at 10 things I wish the church would stop doing. This concludes the series officially. However, I believe sometime in the future, there'll be a need to expand on them. Tune in next week for another episode that will point us to the Word of God. And before I leave you all, I just want to encourage you, read your Bibles, ladies. Read it and seek the Lord. Know it, so that you won't be bamboozled when you go to places. Don't forget to follow the podcast on all streaming platforms, as well as on Instagram at Everlasting Fruit Podcast. That's one word. Please leave a rating and review, and don't forget to share. Until the next time, you know it. God bless.